The prophet Jeremiah prophesied, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely." Today we begin the Advent season, a time when we prepare for the arrival of our King, who comes to us as a babe born in a manger in Bethlehem, who has also promised to come to us one day as the King of Kings and all glory and honor coming in on the clouds. This is a time when our children began to anxiously anticipate opening up all those Christmas presents on Christmas morning as they watched the Advent wreaths, candles get lit one by one, by one, by one. It's a time when us as parents begin to do all of our Christmas planning, buying presents, planning dinners, thinking about parties to attend, and everything that goes along with the season. It's a time when our world seems to pick up even more speed, when the advertisements on our televisions turn from political things to what you need to buy things, and how much you need to spend on things, and how to make your loved ones happy things. Yes, for this world, it is a time of busyness and hustle. The world has little concern for stillness or our solitude, but for the church, this is a time of slowing down and preparing our hearts for the arrival of our King. So ponder in your hearts for a moment or two this question. What kind of king do you long for to come? We know that Jesus is king, that he is the King of Kings, and that he is coming again soon. What kind of king do you long for Jesus to be? I'll set before you two kings. The king that we want, and then the king that we need. The king that we want is the king who will give us everything that we want. This king's desires just happen to be whatever your desires for yourself are. He knows the things that you long for, and this king will do everything in his power to make sure that you get those things. You want freedom? This king will give you freedom. He'll give you the freedom to be who you want to be, to do what you want to do, to say what you want to say, to feel how you want to feel without any guilt or shame. You want happiness and contentment? This king will give you happiness and contentment. His main concern is your personal happiness and contentment. And he will work night and day, neither slumber nor sleep, to make sure that you get the things that you want. Freedom, happiness, joy, contentment. That's the king that we want. Then there's the king that we need. The king who Jeremiah tells us will execute justice and righteousness in the land. What does that mean? It means he is a king who will set all things right. He'll execute justice. He'll see all the things that are wrong in this world, and he will finally make things right again. This is the king that we need. A king who has a winnowing fork in his hand, who will cut down all that is unholy or sinful or evil, crush it with his mighty hand, and throw it into the unquenchable fires of hell forever. A king who will do away with all evil. This king sees fathers who desert their children, and he executes justice. This king sees those who hurt his children, and he will execute justice. This king sees everything that threatens to destroy you, and he will execute justice. He will set things right, everything that is wrong in the world, everything that threatens you, everything that harms you. Everything that hurts you, this king will destroy. He will set all things right. Sounds like a king that I want after all. That kind of king sounds pretty good. Getting rid of everything that harms me, getting rid of everything that threatens to destroy me, getting rid of everything that is wrong in our world. He will set all things finally right. That's the king that we need and want, because there is much in our world that needs to be set right. Our world's a broken mess. There are so many things wrong in our world that needs to be set right, things that must be destroyed, and all is good with this king until the king turns his eyes towards you and sees in you so many things that still need to be set right. Sees in you so many things that must be destroyed. The king comes to execute justice on the world and on you. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians what this king's desire is. He must establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God. All of a sudden, Jesus isn't the king that I want anymore, because he seems very little concerned with my freedom and my happiness. His concern is that your heart would be blameless. He wants your heart blameless. He wants you holy. And he has come to execute his justice and establish righteousness in your heart. As St. Paul says, establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God. The king is coming to come and execute justice and righteousness in the whole land, in the cosmos, in this world, and in your own heart. So how do we do that? How do we establish our hearts blameless in holiness before God? I'll give you two options. There's the way that we want, and then the way that we need. The way that we want is the same trap that we continually fall into. That you can establish your hearts blameless. Like you can do this open heart surgery on yourself. You hold the scalpel. And you find the sin in your own heart and you cut it out. You do away with it. You see something creeping in your life, well then you destroy it. You leave it, you avoid it, you find something a little bit deeper in your life and you use this momentum that you have and you think, I've got this, I can cut that out too, and you cut away piece by piece, slowly trying to make your heart blameless before God. You cut away. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can be blameless if I just prayed a little bit harder. If I just got my life together in this piece, you find another part and you cut it away. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Ah, you start to make some progress and it feels so good. You put your finger on a vein, one that's caused you trouble for a long time, and you finally cut it away. You use all your momentum, you let it go, and you keep cutting it away. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And then you find the artery, you know, the one that always seems never to fully go away, the one that your life seems to depend on, the one where the scalpel always seems to go dull there in that moment for whatever reason. But with a little more oomph, And with a little more force, with a little more effort and spiritual power, with a little bit more dedication and determination, then you can finally make your heart blameless because you are the one who holds the scalpel. It's a trap of the devil. And so many Christians fall into this trap and are left with broken Christianity, thinking that they are the ones making their hearts blameless in holiness before God. But if you're holding the scalpel, you will never get there. Or God holds the scalpel. And you trust through every cut and tear and painful rip that he is doing whatever must be done in your heart to establish it blameless. God makes the cuts. And he alone is the one who makes you holy. So even if that means that he inflicts you with a wound, a painful cut or a humbling blow, even when he destroys something that you once held so dear, even when he takes your happiness away and turns your laughter into mourning, even when he leaves you with nothing, and especially when he finds those arteries in your life that you thought you depended on, and he cuts right through you, destroying every little piece of you, cut by cut by cut by cut, where you have nothing left, you entrust yourself to his care. That no matter what, through tears and laughter, through pain and healing, through life and death, you know God is at work in this moment. That these momentary afflictions or temptations or persecutions, that this pain that you're experiencing in his discipline, it's nothing more than God's justice at work in your heart. He's rooting something evil out in you, doing work on you, carving you into the image of his Son, giving you the blessing of knowing that he's the one who's in control, tearing you in, out, one by one, cut by cut. He is teaching you that he is the king. He is the one who gives you what you need. He is the one who can take away the desires of your heart to bring about holiness in your heart. I've got nothing, Lord, but a sin-stained heart in your hands. So shape me. Mold me, form me into the image that you desire for me to be. Give us hearts that beat for you alone, because we know that there's much in us that still needs to be destroyed. There's so much more in me that has to be set right. So do it, whatever you have to do, Lord. And there is when you finally dwell secure. No longer in the hands of your own scalpel or following the king of your own making, but in the hands of Jesus, the King, who executes justice by executing himself out of love for you. There is where you will dwell safely in the hands of Jesus through repentance and faith in him. Jesus is the King, and he has fully executed the full justice of God by entrusting himself to the Father in perfect obedience, who let the Father take the scalpel to him, carving out his hands and his feet and piercing his body to a bloody cross, destroying once for all that sin that dwelt in your heart. He took it upon himself and he put it to death. All those cuts, all your self-inflicted wounds, all your deepest and darkest sins, all your faults and your failures, Jesus the King has set it all right by the blood of the Lamb, all by his grace and mercy and love, all by his love for sinners like you and me who can never establish our hearts blameless in holiness on our own. He did it all by his grace and mercy, with his winnowing fork and holiness and justice, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he accomplished it by his death and resurrection for you. So these cuts that you have, the Lord has graciously given them to you. He's carving you out to shape you into the image of his Son, and to establish your hearts blameless in holiness before him. So that when our King comes with all the saints, we will finally dwell secure, saved and safe in his hands from all that threatens to destroy us from outside and from within. Amen.